Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 1120. The topic is training, and the title is Client Workout Explanation. And we're going to be actually looking at a client who's working to build muscle, but they're trying to do so with limited equipment. Now, the message I want to get across through this is, first of all, to just kind of teach awesome, cool, fun concepts that are built into workouts, just for idea generation and just to like learn more about what can be done in workouts and why you do things certain ways. And then I also want to just share the basic message that what equipment you have isn't the limit. It's knowing how to use it. That's the biggest factor of what kind of prevents people from making better progress. You can have people who have access to the best equipment in the world. And let's not even go that far. Let's calm that down. And let's say, okay, you can have people who have access to a full gym, a regular commercial gym, and they can look like crap. They can, if they're trying to build muscle, they don't build any muscle. If they're trying to get stronger, they don't get any stronger. If they're trying to lose fat, they don't lose any fat. It's not going to be equipment that makes or breaks your success. It's knowing how to use what you have. I work with people who have absolutely no equipment, and we do bodyweight only workouts, and they look and feel great based on what their goals are. They're not going to be, you know, professional bodybuilders. They're not going to be professional, like, you know, elite level powerlifters, you know, nothing like that. But they're going to look and feel good, and they're going to have great strength. Like one of them, for example, is a runner. And we do bodyweight movements to help build up their joints to protect them against any annoyances that they have in running. So we do stretching, we do mobility work, we do bodyweight strength and like different positionings and things. And it's great. They're absolutely happy. They crush things. They're hitting PRs and marathons and whatnot. And it's awesome. They don't need to spend any money on equipment at home. They don't even have a really big house. So it's very effective for them. And they don't even have a single piece of equipment. So obviously, it would be nice to have some equipment, and everybody usually has some degree of something. A couple of dumbbells, you know, a jump rope, maybe some bands, some odds and ends. You can even use floor sliders for furniture and things like that. So there's easy ways for us to get low-cost equipment. But equipment isn't the problem. It's just knowing how to use it, how being more creative and learning more things. So, for example, the for me to write programs, when I write programs for clients, every exercise I give a client, there's a tutorial video that they can click on. It's either myself teaching it or somebody off of YouTube who taught it very well or demonstrated it very well, and I don't need to redo it. So I just use their video. Now, the reason why I don't redo the videos and make them all myself is the number of videos that would have to be. The document that I use to catalog all of the different YouTube videos. So the document I have is a Microsoft Word document because I'm old school, and it has the exercise name underlined, and then underneath it is the video link. That's it. And then the very next line is the next name's exercise's name, and then the video for that. And then the very next line. So it's all single spaced, and it's just exercise video, exercise video, exercise video. It's 151 pages of exercise and video. It's well over 2,000 exercises that I use when I'm writing my programs. So I know every single one of these 2,000 exercises. I can teach every single one of these 2,000 exercises, but I don't have the time to make 2,000 videos to put on YouTube. So I use other people's videos if they've taught them well. But to show you that that's one unique thing that maybe if you're unsure of that, if you don't know anything about like training programming, that's very, very, very uncommon that a trainer would be able to pull from 2,000 exercises to make your program. I've been able to do it because I've been doing this for 19 years and I've taught the university level for all this stuff. It's all I do all the time and I love doing it and it's been a passion of mine my entire life. So I have a lot of years. I'm 37. I started exercising and looking at videos and things when I was 15. I started getting paid to train other people when I was 18. So it's been 19 years of me collecting knowledge. So that's how I can pull from 2,000 exercises to make the programs for my clients. Now, when you think about what's going to go into like a great program, knowing the variety of movements that are possible is helpful. So if I'm limited in equipment and all I have is like this client, for example, I'm going to read through some of their equipment. They have a squat rack, and that squat rack has a pull-up bar kind of in it. That's part of the brace for the rack. They have a barbell. They have some plates. They have adjustable dumbbells, but they're not very fast adjustable dumbbells. They're kind of annoying and they take time to fix and adjust. They have a way to do dips. They have a trap bar, which is like a hexagon bar that a lot of athletes use. And they also have a lat pull-down machine that you have to put plates on it, but it's an option. Now, why that's important to know is because if I'm asking them to use plates on the barbell, I know there's less plates available for the lat pull-down. So you have to know those things. So I can't ask them to do heavy lat pull-downs and a barbell movement together because they don't have enough plates. And then they have a cable row option off of that lat pull-down. But that also then means you can't do, you know, those things together, because if you can, they might have to change plates in between those two. But if they have plates on that, then again, they can't have plates on other things. And then they have this weird machine for tricep press-downs. And they have an echo bike, like a Rogue echo bike. Now, that's actually pretty good equipment for a home gym. But the reason why this is interesting is this equipment would be more so suited for somebody who does strength training and or basic athletic training, like basic training to be an athlete. This is not a list you would see for a bodybuilder. Bodybuilders tend to use more like isolative style movements. They might like a leg extension, leg curl, maybe even a leg press. So they have very limited machines, and typically in bodybuilding, you want more isolative concepts, so you're going to use more machines. You're certainly going to need kind of easier adjustability to your dumbbells. If you want to do, like, say, a run the rack or a drop set technique, that's not possible with slow change adjustable dumbbells. So this person does have an athlete background, and we worked together at first to address low back stress and pain that they were having. They now have no pain whatsoever. We got them strong, and they're happy with their strength, and now they want to work on building muscle. So we're switching into doing bodybuilding style training, but we're doing it with not bodybuilding equipment. So they're limited equipment because of what the type of the equipment is. But we can still do it. That's what I wanted to share in today's podcast. Is we wrote a workout. I'm going to give you an upper body example and a lower body example, and just kind of read through and explain how we're using this. So one of the things they wanted to work on, what they wanted to kind of emphasize, was bigger arms and how they kind of like balance out to their body. So we talked about wanting to do arms, shoulders, chest and back, and then legs. And they're trying to build more of an X frame rather than kind of a typical body type where the midsection is the thickest and your extremities are thin. So what we're doing with their upper body is we're pre-exhausting the arms, the biceps and triceps. We are focusing on biceps and triceps at first, so they're damaged and beat up. And then as they would go into any kind of presses, any type of back rows or pull-ups or pull-downs kind of things, that their arms are going to get destroyed even further. They're going to get some chest stimulation, some back stimulation, some shoulder stimulation, but those arms are going to get destroyed. That extra damage compared to previous workouts when they used to train for strength and train as an athlete, they never got that isolative stress into biceps and triceps. So the size of their arms would have been smaller than what their best possible genetics would show because they've never prioritized their arms. So we're prioritizing arms first and then letting the arms get destroyed even deeper as they do the other styles of movements. So to start this workout, they're using a 25-pound plate, weight plate. They're going to do standing overhead tricep extension. So they're holding the plate with both hands, holding it, you know, roughly like the middle of the plate, like the edges on the middle, so they're balancing their hand position. They're going to stand and just do an overhead tricep extension using the 25-pound plate. They're then going to bring it to in front of their body and do bicep curls with the 25-pound plate. How we have them set up to do this in order to get a lot of volume, get the elbows warmed up, get the muscles warmed up, get the shoulders warmed up, and prepare them for heavier movement, and where we damage the arm tissue in the high rep fibers, but we maintain the strength of the low rep fibers for later movements, the bigger, heavier stuff, we're having them do a set of 10 reps of each movement. So 10 overhead extensions into 10 bicep curls. That's not max effort. That's not even going to really hurt that much. That's just getting a little bit of movement, a little bit of blood flow, just getting everything warmed up. They go immediately into 12 reps of each movement, then immediately into 14 reps of each movement, then 16, then 18, and then finish with 20. Their arms are dying. They actually emailed me back and said that was an insane arm pump. So they were very happy. But the 10 reps on each arm, each movement, not that hard. 12 reps, okay, starting to heat up a little bit. 14 reps, breathing a little bit, getting a little sweat going. 16, they may have had to pause like once in between. Like maybe they got to 10 reps, took a breath or two, and then did the remaining six. At 18, maybe they needed two pauses. To get to 20, maybe they needed three or four mini pauses. But it's a ton of arm work. Big pump. But again, it's endurance fibers. It builds in the warm-up for the elbows and the shoulders. Now, the shoulders are involved because that overhead position for the triceps. And then they have to bring their arms down in front of them to do the bicep curls. So they're constantly picking their arms up and down, up and down. They're rotating through the shoulder structure. So they're going to get some front shoulder stress, some mid-shoulder stress, like mid-front delt muscle, deltoids, and middle deltoids. So they're going to get some shoulder stress. They're going to get blood flow through the shoulders. So this is to warm up their shoulders, warm up their elbows. It's to get the high rep fibers of the biceps and triceps destroyed, but to not destroy the strength fibers of those, so that way it doesn't actually take away from our chest presses and our back rows later in the workout. So really cool way to start the workout. Big arm pump, super motivating because it's a quick, easy start. All they had to do was pick up a 25-pound plate and get going. So there's no crazy setup that didn't wear them out, that didn't, you know, exhaust them, that didn't be like, oh, crap, I don't have to move this around and do that and this. So really cool start. Then we went into a kind of superset again, like where they're doing one exercise immediately into another, where we did dumbbell seated lateral raises into standing lateral raises. And they paired that with diamond push-ups, so close grip push-ups for the triceps and chest. So seated lateral raises are harder to do because you can't use any body English or body momentum because you're sitting down, so your hips are controlled. And then once you reach failure within 6 to 10 reps, you stand up with the exact same weight and continue to do standing lateral raises for another 6 to 10 reps. So that's a big shoulder pump. Now the shoulders were warmed up during the bicep curls and the tricep extensions, but they weren't damaged, like weighted damage. So the lateral raises will get that damage. We then, pairing that with diamond push-ups, it's a way to get their chest introduced, but to still kill their triceps and kind of finish the triceps off some. Then we go into superset back and forth of alternating front raises with palms down. That gets the front shoulder and the mid shoulder a lot, the mid deltoid. So that's going to work on width, visual width to the shoulder when you're viewing them from the front. So that gets them that X, the top of the X frame. That is going to be paired with machine lat pull downs, because that's going to help, like with a wide overhand grip, that's going to help them work on the upper V taper of their back. And we haven't done any direct back work yet. We did do some biceps in that first movement, but again, that was high reps, not heavy reps. So the heavy rep fibers of the biceps are still fresh and ready to go. So they're going to do wide overhand grip lat pulldowns paired with those alternating front raises. The alternating front raises finish off the shoulders. The pulldowns start the back work, and it's specific to the upper edge of the lat into the armpit connection, so that gets them that V-taper. They then finish with a pairing of dumbbell bent over lateral raises, where we are involving mid-back extension and contraction, so thoracic spine, kind of eccentric, concentric work. So that way it builds the mid-back as well as the rear delts. And they're going to pair that with cable seated row, again with wide overhand grip. So the wide overhand grip ensures that it's upper lat specific, and a cable seated row is a heavy variation of back rows that they can do with their legs braced, lower back healthy, and they're like not kind of overly stressed because the next day is going to be lower body workouts. Then having that paired with the dumbbell bent over lateral raises, it hits the rear delts, finishes off the delts, and then the back rows finishes off the back. So through this, the only thing that we'd be lowly impacted on would be chest, but they're going to come back and work out three and destroy the chest. So we have that built in. Now, what's fun about this structure is their arms are their highest priority, so I let them start with their arms. They feel successful. It's easy setup, easy start, right to the thing that they know they want to work most. So they're most excited, they give all the energy to it. We go into the seated into standing lateral raises and push-ups. That's going to help them feel further pumped in their chest and arms and get that shoulder growth for a visual effect to the X frame that we want. The diamond push-ups helps get that chest development while furthering the tricep damage. We then did those front raises and the lat pull-downs. Great way to finish off the kind of like the front and middle part of the shoulder. Continue to finish off that X frame. The lat pull downs, like we said, works the back upper to the upper lats. Those dumbbell bent over lat raises finish off the shoulders, finish off the mid back, and then the cable seated rows get the upper lats and the mid back as well. So layered, awesome. So those are some of the choices into why I would set that up that way. And why do I like supersets back and forth? Is because if you're resting from one exercise, you're kind of doing nothing while you're waiting in between sets. Why not do a different exercise while you're waiting? This also keeps them off their phone. It keeps them motivated, keeps them moving, and it increases the caloric burn of the workout. It increases the cardiovascular stress from the workout, and it allows us to overall get in more volume per unit of time spent in the gym. So we're not only going to get muscle building effects, we're going to get cardiovascular improvement effects, we're going to get body fat control effects, and it helps account for kind of attentiveness and time sensitivity to their schedule. So really awesome aspects are all built into these workouts. Now, the second workout is their lower body workout. They're going to start with their echo bike, and they're doing 5 minutes with increasing intensity per minute. So they're going to start out with just a light pace. At minute number two, they're going to go a little faster. Minute number three, a little faster. By minute five, well, I want them in almost what feels like a full-on sprint. This is going to warm up their lower body, warm up their adrenaline, their endorphins. So their natural aggression and focus is going to increase. Their kind of painkillers and kind of attentiveness into the workout is going to increase as well. So great warm-up for the lower body, great warm-up for our mindset. They're then going to go into bodyweight squat jumps. So they squat to parallel, then they jump out of that, land, go into parallel, jump and land. So they're going from a parallel squat position, jumping each time. They then are going into alternating reverse lunges, and then they're going to do a trap bar squat with heels elevated. So not a deadlift with the trap bar, but actually a squat with the trap bar. So at the bottom, their thighs are going to be parallel. So much more upright position, almost like an upright, like a high bar squat. Now, that what that does for them is this person, what happened is they had done something outside of the gym that irritated their right shoulder. So they're having trouble getting their right shoulder back into a rack position, a back rack position for squats. So we didn't want to give them a barbell to squat with. We wanted to give them the trap bar to squat with. So that accounts for that shoulder issue. Then they're going to circuit all three of those together. So squat jumps into alternating reverse lunges, and then heavy kind of trap bar squats. The heel elevation ensures that it's going to be lower quad development and not a ton of lower back stress. So this is going to ensure that the stress load is in the thigh musculature, not the lower back. We want to build their knees and especially the quadriceps down by the knees because that's where they're missing a lot of meat. So they have better quads up by their hips. We want quads down by the knees. So the heel elevated, more upright position with a trap bar squat is going to help avoid the shoulder issue and be specific to the musculature of the quadriceps right at the knee joint. The bodyweight squats and alternating reverse lunges helps ensure that all the small little muscles of the hips are strong. It helps ensure we have that cardiovascular burn. It ensures we get a good muscle pump, muscle burn. So that way it's not just strength training, it's still the aesthetic development style training. They're then finishing with a pairing of zombie squat, which is a front squat variation, and cable standing crunches. This is going to help the cable standing crunches helps work their core. Since they're working on aesthetics, we want to make sure we have some muscle bumps in their abs. That's what they want, rather than a flat stomach. So you do different type of ab work if you want flat abs versus muscle bump abs. And then the front squat helps ensure that, again, we destroy those quadriceps, but it's in a little bit of a different position. The zombie position is arms extended out in front of you, so that avoids that shoulder issue as well. So we're getting them to do kind of the trap bar squat and the zombie squat are going to be very similar mechanics, but the trap bar squat is going to work specifically down by the knee at the quads, whereas the zombie squat works the entire quadricep and the hamstrings and glutes. So it's more of a universal thigh developer rather than the trap bar squat with heels elevated is a knee edge specific developer for the quadriceps. So if you notice, that workout sounds shorter. It's just the air bike to warm up, the echo bike. And then they're going to do the squat jumps, alternating reverse lunges in the trap bar squat as a circuit, and then just a circuit of zombie squats and cable crunches. It doesn't need to be a lot because of how insanely precise all these things are into his quadriceps. Now, workout four, we come back, we train the legs again, but they're actually going to be more posteriorly focused. So we're training legs twice a week, but one part of the week we're training mostly the front of the legs with some backside leg development. Then the second time of the week we're training mostly backside leg development with some front. This allows us to damage each tissue twice a week, but really intensely damage each one only once a week. That aids recovery, but allows for the frequency to be appropriate for bodybuilding. So the structure of the workouts individually are very specific from kind of like warm up into medium stuff and like heavy stuff, and trying to focus on what his needs are with what his equipment is. So, for example, if he had great quads, we would be focusing way more on hamstrings. So we would still train legs probably twice a week, but both leg workouts will be posterior dominant rather than and front side dominant. So everything's specific to each person. Since his arms are his highest priority, we let him do arms in workout number one. If somebody's legs were a priority, maybe legs would be workout number one. So you can modify a lot of this based on what that individual person's needs and preferences are. And then exercise selection, you would change it based on what equipment they had. So for example, trap bar low handle, like the trap bar squats with the feet heels elevated, If I didn't have that, like say we had a leg press, I would just do low, narrow stance and leg press. That would do the same damn thing. So you can modify. If you don't have a leg press, that's okay. You don't need one. You can just position yourself in a mechanically similar way with different equipment. So knowing how to modify positions based on the equipment you have allows you to achieve what you want. So again, you are not limited by the equipment you have. You're limited by your knowledge of how to use it. I hope that through listening through today's podcast, it gives us an idea of how we can create workouts we want, even if we don't have the equipment that might be traditionally used for those workouts. Cool. I don't know. Hopefully this was helpful. If this was in any way, please let me know. Email me at brutalirongym@gmail.com. Let me know what you think of today's podcast. If you like this, I'll go through and share a bunch of other examples. So if I have a female working on strength, or if I have a male doing strongman, if I have, you know, a runner who's working on just strength to help aid their running, anything you want to know about, I guarantee you I have a client on it. I've been doing this forever. I've worked with over 2,500 people. So crap ton of clients, no worries about that. So if you like this method, let me know. And if you want to request a specific topic of training, let me know. Cool. Well, thank you for listening. Hopefully this was helpful. If you need any help with programming, of course, I'm happy to help. This is what I love, as you can tell by how excited I get talking about workouts. So if you would like a program that's created for you, like this one is for this client, let me know. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. I'd be happy to help. Also, if you like today's podcast, please share it. The more people we share the podcast with, the more people can help. So that's very helpful to do so. Thank you for those who share the podcast. Then thank you to the patrons of the podcast, people who financially support the podcast on the Podbean platform and through the podcast donation link accessible on our Instagram homepage. Thank you to the people who support the podcast financially. Really, really, this is the only way I can do this every day is thanks to you. So thank you. If you like the information we share in our podcast, you can find more from us on social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. If you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, anything that you want to know, let us know at our email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.